Good morning, church. It's a pleasure and honor to be able to speak to y'all today. The crowd's kind of thin. I hope it's not because they heard I was coming. My wife and I were traveling in Arizona recently, just got back. I admit it was a little hard to come back to the cold and snow, but this church family makes it worthwhile, makes it easy to live in Alaska because we love this church family. I'm glad to be able to speak to you today. The title of my lesson is Lean In, and I did not coordinate my message with Lane or Robert, but I'm also going to speak about church unity. I had this topic long before I listened to their lessons, and I think it's appropriate that we're of one mind in this. Now, to get started, it may come as a surprise to some of y'all, but I am not perfect. I know. I hate to disappoint you. But all joking aside, I am a flawed man. I have shared with you before that I once wrote out a description of the man that I want to be, and I have failed in all aspects of that at some point in my life. Now, I'm working, striving to be better every day, to be a better man, to be more like Christ, but I have a long way to go to achieve that ideal that is exemplified by Christ. Not only am I not perfect, but the elders aren't perfect either. And the deacons aren't perfect. And the ministers aren't perfect. And the person sitting next to you is not perfect. And the person you see in the mirror every day also is not perfect. Everyone in this room has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And not only that, but every one of us has hurt someone else. Every one of us has disappointed or let down someone that we care about. Every one of us has done something that betrayed someone else's trust. Every one of us is faulted. This congregation is full of imperfect people. The church, the Lord's church, is perfect, but there is no perfect congregation. And I'll tell you something else, and I know you know this. This congregation is full of hurting people too. There are marriages in this room right now that are in crisis. There are people here who are estranged from family members. Some here have lost a loved one. Some here have lost a cherished friendship. Some have loved ones who are on a path of self-destruction, and it's painful to watch. Some have family that have walked away from the Lord. Some people here, as Craig eloquently mentioned, fear for tomorrow. Some are struggling financially. Some are dealing with long-term ailments. Some are struggling with addiction. Some are tormented by trauma. Some are floundering in the remains of shattered dreams. Some are dealing with more than one of those. Every one of us bears emotional scars. We've all experienced loss of some kind. We've all experienced disappointment of some kind. All of us have some sort of hurt. And all of us, in some way, have contributed to the hurt and disappointment and pain of others because we are imperfect. What wretched souls we are, as Paul once exclaimed. But thanks be to God for our Lord Jesus Christ, that we have a minister who cares for us. And more than that, thanks be to God for this same group of people right here, with all of our flaws and imperfections, even though we sometimes hurt each other, thank God for this same group. Brothers and sisters, we desperately need Jesus, but we also desperately need each other right here in this congregation. We need love, and God's love comes to us through other people, through our brothers and sisters. We all need the church, and the church is us. We need each other. In Romans chapter 8, verse 17, Paul said that we were made co-heirs with Christ, not just allowed to live in God's household, not to be a long-term guest, not even just to be a family member. We were made to have an equal share of the inheritance with Christ in God's family. And this family needs each other. And today, my message is, lean in. Lean in to your church family. Now, why do I bring this up? It's kind of hard to talk about our imperfections, our struggles, and our pain. But the reason I mention this today is we all know there have been some painful things that have happened recently. We also all know that some have left the congregation recently. And I have heard of others who are wanting to leave the congregation. And it's a hard message, but the message for you today is don't back away. Draw closer. Lean in. Don't push away from the table and fold. Double down. Invest more. Get closer. Love your family more deeply. We all need a big collective hug, and you need to be a part of it. So I'm coming today with a plea for unity, and more than just a plea for unity, I'm calling you to action, you personally, to step up and love more. I'm calling you to a deeper mutual affection for one another with more intentional service to each other, to have more abundant forgiveness and patience for each other, and to take practical steps for you to take practical steps to heal any broken relationships you have in this church with your brothers and sisters, to make a greater effort to connect with one another, to reach out more to your brethren and see how they're doing, to check in more often, and to pray for one another more frequently. Are you listening? Lean in. All of you, me, all of us, lean in. We need each other. We need to love deeper, serve more sacrificially, and be more abundant in grace. In the scripture that Stephen read for us, John 13:35, Jesus said, "By this you will know that you are my disciples, by your love. By this they will know, if you are my disciples, by your love for one another." The world will know that we are Christians by how we love one another. Not by our knowledge of Scripture, not by how big our attendance is, not how bright our sign is out there, how amazing our building is, not by the size of the cross that we wear around our neck, but how we love each other. How massive would our impact be in this community if we loved each other? Excuse me. If we loved each other 10 times more than we do now, and this is a very loving congregation, but imagine how amazing it would be if we loved each other 10 times more, 100 times more. How beautiful, how much more beautiful and edifying our fellowship would be if we tried to outdo each other with love. You've heard it said that when the going gets tough, the tough get going. But more often than not, human nature is that when the going gets tough, people withdraw and they pull away. When things get hard, when relationships become difficult, the tendency among mankind is to withdraw. That's why our divorce rates are so high in this country. That's why there's so many children growing up without a father. That's why so many young people today go online for the relationships instead of pursuing one-on-one friendships with real people. That's why on social media, people communicate through avatars and usernames, and they put themselves out there instead of speaking one-on-one with real human beings, because relationships are hard, and repairing and maintaining relationships takes work. And unfortunately, there are many who want to leave the congregation rather than doing the hard work of making things better. When things get hard or uncomfortable, or they feel offended, someone offended them, or they don't feel appreciated, or when things simply aren't happening the way they think they should, instead of leaning in, they pull away. Some people want to go and look for the perfect church. But there is no perfect church. It's a self-centered attitude to say, what am I getting out of church? Instead of saying, how can I serve God's church? How can I make the congregation better? There is no perfect church. Everywhere that you go, you're going to encounter people who disagree with you. There's nowhere you can go where people won't be hurt or offended. There's no one congregation where everyone believes everything exactly the same. Every congregation is made up of imperfect people, including you, including me, including the ministers. They're going to make mistakes. Including the elders, they're going to disappoint you. I am going to let you down at some time if I haven't already. Maybe this sermon this morning will offend you. Because today I'm admonishing you not to walk away, not to withdraw, not to disengage, but to lean in. Lean in with me. Lean into your church family. Lean into Jesus. So the Apostle Paul did not back away or withdraw when congregations were struggling. He shepherded them. He encouraged them. He prayed for them. He loved them. He leaned in. We're going to look at the five congregations today that Paul was working with in his epistles. Now, they frustrated him. It's easy to see from the scriptures that he really got annoyed with them sometimes. And they did things that disappointed him, but then he leaned in. Look at Galatians chapter 6, 1 through 10. The church in Galatia had struggles, and Paul leaned into them. There was some pretty severe dysfunctional activities going on in Galatia. Paul said, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something, he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. Let the one who is taught the word share all things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows in his own flesh will reap from the flesh, will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Now listen to Paul's message to this dysfunctional group. He said, restore with gentleness. Bear one another's burdens. Humble yourself. Focus on your own service. Be generous. Do not grow weary of doing good. Do what is right for everyone, especially for the family of God. He said, lean in. Every one of Paul's points here is about his person's relationship with other people. He admonished the Galatians to lean in to one another, pull together, be good to each other, be humble toward one another, and to serve one another. Paul gave even more detailed instructions to the church in Corinthians, in church in Corinth, I'm sorry. In 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 27, Paul's talking about how we are all one body. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, what would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? As it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. We are one body, arranged by God, indispensable. No divisions among us. We should be caring for each other, suffering together, rejoicing together. Paul said that each member of the body, God elevates each of them. We are one. Paul admonished the Christians in Corinth to lean in to one another, to pull together, be good to one another, be humble towards each other, serve each other. Remember that we're all in this together. We're a single unit. We're a single body. It's like the motto of the Musketeers, all for one and one for all. I propose we start shouting that when we have our fellowship activities. It'll build us up, all for one and one for all. None of us can separate ourselves from the body and expect to thrive. And we cannot separate ourselves from the body and still call ourselves part of the body. As Robert said last week in his lesson, our Christian walk is not a solo trek. We move as one body. Paul tells the Corinthians what Christ-like love is like. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he said, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoings, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Paul said, be patient and kind, not rude or arrogant, not insisting on our own way, not irritable or resentful. Bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things. We forget that endure all things part sometimes, or at least it's our human nature to want to ignore it or to pull away when times get tough. Brothers and sisters, you cannot love someone that you abandon. You cannot encourage someone that you avoid. You cannot build up someone that you do not engage with. You cannot edify someone from a distance. You cannot be united with those that you separate from. Just as Craig said, as iron sharpens iron, you cannot sharpen one another if you're not scraping against each other. Because the body is interdependent, not independent, interdependent, you do yourself more harm than good by keeping your church family at arm's length, by keeping to yourself, by minding your own business. Or if you attempt to just associate on the fringes, lean in. Draw close to your brethren. Consider what Paul told the church in Philippi in Philippians chapter 2, 1 through 8. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility consider others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not account equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Be of one mind. No selfish ambition. No conceit. Be humble. Consider others more significant than yourselves. Look out for each other. Reflect on Christ's service. Look at what Paul told the church in Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 14 through 22. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. I repeat, do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Paul told the Thessalonians, be at peace among yourselves. Admonish the idle. Encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Do not repay evil for evil. Do good to everyone. Finally, let's consider Paul's guidance to the church in Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 4, 1 through 8. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling in which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Paul told the Ephesians, be humble, be gentle, be patient, bear with one another, maintain unity in peace, then be one. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father, one. It's telling that Paul told all five of these churches the same basic instructions to serve one another in humility, to be good to one another, and to live in peaceful unity. He tells them to lean in to one another. Brothers and sisters, the elders aren't the only one responsible for ministering to the flock. The flock is responsible for ministering to the flock. We're responsible for ministering to each other, for helping and encouraging one another. Christ-like love considers the needs of others ahead of our own individual needs. Imagine how amazing this congregation could be, even more amazing, if we put everyone else above ourselves and show the love that Christ showed to us. Christ humbled himself. He set aside his divinity. He wrapped himself in a towel. He washed feet. He reached out to the marginalized. He loved the unloved to the point of laying down his own life for us. Christ leaned in to humanity. He leaned into us and put us before himself. In Matthew 20:16, he said, the last shall be first and the first shall be last. And Christ made himself last for us. And I'm calling on each of us to make ourselves last for everyone else. Jesus pleaded in the garden when he prayed in John chapter 17 that we would be one as he and the Father are one, so that we would know him and that he would know us, that we would know the love of God. And so for the sake of Christ, lean in to your church family. Lean into your service to the brethren. Lean into your relationships with your fellow Christians. Lean into your Bible study. Lean into your prayers. Lean into attendance in the services. Lean into Jesus. If you're offended by someone, lean in and forgive harder. When you're lonely, lean in and proactively go find someone to spend time with. If you see someone who's backsliding, lean in and admonish them in love. If you feel disengaged, then lean in and engage more intentionally. If you feel left out, then lean in and serve more sacrificially. If you're hurting, then lean in and go comfort someone else. If you have conflict with a brother and sister, then lean in, take the first step, and be the peacemaker. It's not about you, it's about the church, which means it's about all of us together. It's about Christ, all for one and one for all. The guidance in Hebrews chapter 10:25 is to lean in and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The closer we are as a church family, the more conflict we will experience. Did you hear that? Intimacy breeds conflict. The closer we become, the more relationship challenges we're going to have, the harder it's going to be. But the more love we will experience too. The more joy, the more closeness, the more encouragement, the more edification, the more spiritual growth, the more personal maturity in our Christian walk, the deeper understanding we will have of God and of his love for us. We'll have a stronger faith, and we'll have greater numbers too. Because the greatest act of evangelism that we can have in this community is to love each other harder, deeper, more intensely. If we come closer together and strengthen the bonds that we have with each other, we'll build a safer space where we can have the hard conversations more easily. We'll build a safer space where we can deal with dysfunctions more effectively. We'll build a safer space where we feel safer and more comfortable with opening up to each other and dealing with issues that we have in this family. We'll have deeper, better relationships, and we'll make this church stronger and more effective in the Lord's kingdom. I once heard of a young preacher who asked an older preacher for advice on how to build up the church. And I love this because the older preacher said, "Light yourself on fire and people will come from miles around just to watch you burn." Do you want this church to grow? Do you want to evangelize within this community? Do you want to bring more souls to Jesus? Then brothers and sisters, lean in. Lean in. Show more grace, more mercy, more patience, more compassion, more understanding, more humility, and more service to each other in this room. We'll bring our little Christian lights together and will become a magnificent incandescent beacon that will shine across the entire valley. Lean in. Don't pull away. Lean in, because Jesus said, "By this they will know that you are my disciples, by your love for one another." Lean in. The more we love each other, the more others are going to want to join us. Now, let me say, I know this is easy to say and hard to do. I'm aware of that. So let me temper this. Trust me, I understand. Christ-like love is not an emotion, it's a decision. You don't have to like everyone. I don't like all of you. I know some of you may not like me. I'm just kidding. Everybody likes me. Love is a decision. Christ-like love is a decision to do what is better or good for the other person. Christ-like love puts yourself second over the needs of the others. Relationships are hard. Dealing with people is challenging. I understand that. And I understand it's easier to avoid conflict than dealing with it. I'm great at that, personally. Sometimes when you reach out to someone, you will be rejected, and that's going to sting. When you make yourself vulnerable, you will be hurt sometimes. I know that. Maybe I'll be the one that hurts you because I'm not perfect. The people that love you the most are the ones who cut you the deepest. I also understand that some pain and some struggles are long-term, that you cannot simply wave them away. I personally know what it's like to carry deep emotional pain for years and years. Some relationships are years in the dismantling. It will take years to rebuild those. Some trauma will never be fully overcome. Some wounds may never fully heal, at least not in this life. Loving people is not easy, and it's not always reciprocated. I'm encouraging you to love them anyway, because Jesus loves you, and you all know how difficult you can be sometimes. In our church family, dysfunction needs to be repaired. Abuse needs to be called out. Sin needs to be addressed and condemned. False teaching needs to be corrected. Hypocrisy needs to be challenged. But all of this needs to be done with active participatory love, and all of us need to be active and participatory in it. We have to adhere to God's truth, the truth of God's word, of course, always, because truth without love is brutality, and love without truth is hypocrisy. So we need to love with truth and love gently. Jesus calls us to love one another because God loves us, and the love of God exceeds our comprehension, and the love of Christ redeems us. James 4:8 says, "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you." He says, lean in to God, lean into Jesus. Because we are the body of Christ, lean into your church family. And someday we'll run this race for perseverance, and Jesus will heal all of our wounds, physical and emotional, and all of our relationships will be easy on that great day, because we will all be one with Christ and we'll all be one with each other, and all the problems will go away. While here on earth, on this kingdom, we deal with pain daily. Suffering and disappointment are constants in life, unfortunately. But love is too. Lean in, brothers and sisters. Lean into this church family. Lean into each other. You be the one to take the steps to make the change. Lean in. If an ember in the fire falls off and rolls away from the pile, it will burn for a while, but it will slowly, slowly fade and grow cold. Lean in. If you've not fully leaned into Christ today, come now, put Christ on in baptism. If you want to lean into the church, but maybe you're struggling in any way that hinders your Christian walk, if you need help with dealing with broken relationships that you have in your life, whatever your need is, this church is here to lean in with you today. We will pray together. Whatever your need is, brothers and sisters, come forward today and ask for help while we sing this invitation song. Lean in, brothers and sisters.